all of this is hindsight, but it's like when God sees you still performing at your best, and then, you know, your time will come. There will be that divine time when you know you're ready, and that's what happened.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Gene.
And this is Colbert St. Laurent, and we are on another episode of Faith Grind Inspire.
This episode that we're about to tune in is with Dion Nichols.
Incredible. This is probably one of my favorite interviews that we've done. And being that this is the first interview after, you know, post-COVID, we're still here, but
yeah,
we got to definitely create some great memories on this one.
So listen, tune in right now.
We are amazing because our passion is limitless and our drive is intense. Therefore, you will not deny our grind. You are now listening to the Faith Grind and Inspire podcast.
Welcome back to another great episode of Faith Grind Inspire podcast. I am your host, Gene Alert.
And I'm your co-host, Colbert St. Laurent.
And today, we have a very special guest. And look, first, before I introduce you, right, I want to thank Adrian Fannis Grooming in Brooklyn, New York, in Bushwick, for allowing us to use his space, right? So thank you, and thank you for setting that up.
Oh, my pleasure.
For sure, for sure. Now, today we have the lovely Dion Nichols. Yes.
Good to be here, fellas, let me tell you.
Look, I'm excited. I've been excited to do this podcast with you. We were supposed to do it in the city, but COVID happened.
Yeah.
But good thing it did happen, because we wouldn't have had it in this beautiful space. Right?
Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah. It's positivity.
Yes.
Right? And we're going to talk about that. So, Dion, tell me who you are. Tell me about yourself.
Sure. So, it's funny. I was getting into a little bit with Colbert. Yes. I'm a girl who came from Ottawa, Ontario, who wanted to live out her dream of working in fashion on Fifth Avenue.
Okay.
Yeah. So, my parents... Born in St. Lucia, immigrated to Canada, had a wonderful life growing there, but I just felt like Ottawa was just a little too small for me. I always knew I was going to move to a bigger city. I thought I was going to go to Toronto, you know? Love would take me to New York, you know, as well as my dream to work in fashion. And I did it. I have to say, I actually did it for almost 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah. And I did end up on Fifth Ave.
Wow.
I worked for several luxury women's wholesale fashion companies.
Take a pause. Tell us, where did you get the love for fashion from?
You know what's funny? When I had to really think back,
because
I feel like it was always innately a part of me. Mm-hmm. You know, I was kind of created my own style, especially in like middle school to high school. We came from simple means, right? But the schools I went to, they actually could wear the name brand stuff. We couldn't necessarily afford that. So I had to create my own looks. So if you think about... What's the second daughter's name on the Cosby Show?
You had Lisa. You had Lisa.
The one that used to wear like the hair comb. So not Rudy.
Not Rudy.
And not
Lisa.
Not Lisa.
Vanessa.
So think Vanessa style, the double belts. And like that was me with the frilly socks. I just created my own thing, you know?
Yeah.
But I remember growing up, and my mom, I used to love to watch her. Get ready. So think of all the she's like I said, Caribbean. So the all the colors, and she was really stylish back then. They used to go to the disco, her and my dad, you know? And I used to be on the bed laid up like this, and I would be monitoring her, like basically checking out the outfit to see if it passed. Mom, no different belt. From a very young age, probably like 5 years old.
Yeah.
You know, so it was already in me from a long time
ago. So you get it from your mom?
Yeah, my mom. Definitely. It's in the DNA.
It's in the DNA. That's cool. 100%. So what was their thoughts? Like, where, you said Fifth Avenue.
Yeah.
Coming from Canada, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where did that come from? Was it Vogue? Was it like watching TV or?
Yeah. So that's it. It was either Paris or New York. Right?
Paris, New York.
It was either Paris or New York, but I knew I didn't want to be that far from my family.
Got it.
And then, from that small town, all you have really is the magazines to look at and aspire to. So all I knew was Fifth Avenue. If you knew the path I took, it wasn't straight. I'll tell you that. I moved to New York. I lived in predominantly, white area. My school, I was always the only chocolate chip pretty much in the, you know, in the school or even my class. So when I came to Brooklyn, East Flatbush, where my aunt lived, Linden and Utica, if anybody knows what I'm talking about, I was like, oh!
That's Caribbean Central.
Oh my gosh, I was in my glory. Do you know what I mean? And I remember going through the New York classifieds. And if anybody remembers, you know, going through the newspaper to find a job, remember that?
Yeah.
And I remember seeing this ad for fashion assistant. Mm. And so called them up and I got an interview, I think the next day, but it was for recruiting in the fashion industry. And guess where it was?
Where?
Back in the day, I was so proud to share this. It was in Trump Tower.
Really?
But think about it. Just like, that's again, big. That little girl.
At the time.
Right. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it was recruiting in the fashion industry. And I said, okay. You know, I said, it's better to have a job while you're looking for a job. Mm-hmm. And I was in the space. It was the best thing I ever did because I went from assisting the recruiters to actually becoming a recruiter. And don't forget, I didn't even want to do this job. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm learning interview skills. I'm learning to find out what they're looking for in a candidate. I know what trade publications to read. And that's when I actually figured out what I wanted to do. Because I always thought I wanted to be a buyer, right? Travel the world and buy clothes.
Yeah.
Then I found out what a buyer really does. Mm. And actually, you're mostly behind a computer. So that's when I discovered the wholesale side of fashion, where I could be closer to the product.
The product.
The idea of traveling, you know, and representing the brand and just... You know, it spoke to me more. So I got into account management.
Wow.
And it was the best thing I ever did. Worked my way up to director of sales. And
how cool is that, Kobe?
Wow. No, that's amazing. I actually want to speak about that because you said that you didn't want to be there.
Oh, no.
And there are a lot of people that they're already transitioning out, trying to run away. But it seems like you stayed present where you were and took in just as much as you can and really just saw a blessing and all of that. So
yeah.
So speak about the awareness of that, because that's major, because most people would already be out just thinking forward, but you just wanted to stay present how much I can gain from it, and you ended up being something that you led you to where you want to be. So speak on that.
Yeah,
more.
I think I got the wisdom after the fact, so I'll just be honest with you. The 2020 comes afterwards. But in the moment, yeah, like... I even got poached by one of the recruiters to go and start another fashion division within another company, right? So just to show you, I was all in while I'm there, still doing, you know, giving that spirit of excellence, even though I knew I didn't want to be there. Your show's called Faith, Grind, and Inspire. Again, all of this is hindsight, but it's like when God sees you still performing at your best, and then, you know... Your time will come. There will be that divine time when you know you're ready, and that's what happened. You know, I used their fax machine. That's when you still had to fax resumes. So I used their fax machine. You know what I mean? And when the time was ready, you know, I started interviewing and got my first position in fashion.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You know what sticks out to me, Kobe? It's the fact that you came to New York. Most of the times when people come to America... or New York to follow their visions or pursue their dreams, even Cali, right?
Right.
If you go to Cali right now to be an actress or actor, right? Most people are bartenders.
Right.
Or most people work at restaurants to get their deal. My friend, Patrick Jeffrey, to get into like the movie business, he wanted to work for a private car company so that he could drive people around to meet people that way. You didn't have to do any of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You went straight into...
I love it.
I was in the arena until I was ready to make my move. Yeah.
Yo, that's amazing. Mm. That's amazing. Like, that was like determined. What did your family think about that? Like, you moving and coming to America.
I have to say, I'm very thankful for my mother, who never once tried to keep me from following my dream. You know, Caribbean moms can tend to be very protective.
Yeah, absolutely.
But she never stopped me.
Shout out to mom.
Yes, Mama That's Nichols. Great. You know, she's definitely one to give counsel, you know, but she'll never literally tell you what to do. Mm. So I'm very fortunate for that.
That's crazy. You could see that good support. The end product, the support system, especially when it comes from home, is so vital. And it sounds like you had a lot of ease just transitioning here to finding the job.
Yeah.
And it sounds just you know, you looked in the newspaper fashion, just flows together. But
it's,
I actually speak about when you have a spirit that when you're pushed in that direction, you actually have that, you're not fighting against it.
Yes.
And it definitely goes a long way. And you brought up something about being one of the few people of color in those aspects. I could speak, you know, about that, you know, because growing up in Long Island as well, I had an experience about that. But I think it's an energy that our people need to feel like, I deserve this.
Yes.
I can do it.
Yes.
And when you have a, when I hear that your mother's been pushing you and allowing you to just make you make your own choices, it definitely speeds up the process of seeing success. And it's a great thing to see that what you're doing, where you're at, it's all about your upbringing, and that's what inspires you. Your family should be the ones that are inspiring you the most.
Yeah, absolutely. Powerful. And I remember when I, my last position in fashion in New York, I was working for a French company called Sonia Riquiel. Okay. And I needed to speak French. To actually get the job, you were required to be able to work and speak in French. And so I was born in Montreal, actually. But at the time, it was French first, that whole French Revolution.
Yeah.
So my parents, coming from St. Lucia, they didn't speak the full language. So like, well, how are we going to help them with homework, even for their upward mobility, just work-wise? So that's why we moved to Ottawa, where it's bilingual. But my mom had the foresight to put my brother and I in French immersion. Because she said, if you want to go back, you have the option. Neither of us went back to Montreal, but I ended up landing a job in fashion, where, you know, that I had to travel to Paris four shout times a year.
Moms, yeah, moms. Shout out to mom. Oh,
Mama Nichols,
she cried when I told her I got the job. She cried.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And she did come to Paris with me on my last trip out
When's
there.
When's her birthday?
September 9th.
September 9th.
Yeah.
She's a Virgo.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And she's a nine. And she's a nine. Yes. Yes. Yeah. She's a nine. She's a double nine.
Yep.
Matter of fact, yeah, she's a nine. Nine. Yeah,
okay.
18, 9. Yeah. Wow.
Oh, those are powerful numbers, right?
Powerful numbers.
Yeah.
I'm surrounded by nines.
Okay.
Yeah, nine's a powerful number.
Mm-hmm.
But, and Kobe always lets me know that, too. He's like, yo, that's another 9G.
Nine.
He's like, that's another 9G. But,
it's completion. Absolutely. This is a big month for launching things. Yep. So for you to be, you know, restarting your podcast in this month,
it was
pretty cool.
It was a whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Like you said, it's been divine intervention.
Divine, right?
Yes.
You know, it all worked out for the best, and we needed this time to center ourselves, and the universe gave us that time to do it, and we made the best of it. So I'm glad that we're here. I'm glad that we're able to, you know, still be able to
still
do
be
in person things.
Yeah.
Gene did not want to have anything to do with Zoom. And he was like, no Zoom.
No, you're touch and feel. You're energy.
I can't do it.
I'm with you.
I was watching an interview with someone on Zoom, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I literally saw the guy get up and leave. I was like, what kind of interview is this? We're all watching. So I said,
we're still here.
Yeah, we're still here. The guy literally, it was two people.
Uh-huh.
And the guy just, it was like me, you know, say we're on Zoom right now. The guest, it was like two of them. One of them just walked out and walked to the kitchen to grab something to drink. I was like, no.
Yeah.
So that's why, no.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, right? I know there's a lot of people out there that want to get into fashion, want to come to New York, right?
Yes.
And even during this time, people still like, they just like, okay, maybe not now, but I will maybe 2021, 2022, right? What challenges did you face when you came here, right?
Because
you didn't have the challenge of finding a job. You didn't have a challenge of like finding a place to stay.
Right,
you
know? Right.
You have a great personality, yes. So you probably didn't have that, the negative like, oh, there's people against me
attitude. Right. Yeah.
You know, so you came with a mission.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I'm looking at it.
Yes,
you came with a mission and you like, this is what's supposed to happen, so it's going to happen, right? And I think that's part of the upbringing, right, where your parents are like, you're great.
Yeah.
This is going to happen for you. Whatever you want to do in life, it's going to happen. And then you just was like, okay.
Yeah. Wouldn't think anything of it, right?
You know, like Charlemagne says, black privilege, right? You know, we have it, but it's how you're conditioned. It's how you're conditioned. You know,
absolutely.
Like, I didn't realize there was limitations for me until I got older.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And I did it.
Yeah.
And so everybody was like, how did you get that done? Because you were, I was like, because I wanted to.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So tell me, any type of hurdles, anything that you remember that this is something you had to fight for or, you know, something.
I'll say this. Yeah. So I'll give you this. So my first job in fashion, I got laid off 7 months later.
7 months.
Oh, it felt like all the air was literally knocked out of me.
Really?
You know? But again, it was the best thing that ever happened.
Yes.
So next thing you know, I get a job opportunity where it ended up being almost like a promotion. So it was, I was in a fashion assistant position or an account exec assistant position.
Uh-huh.
And then when I ended up going out again, I ended up getting an account exec position. So it ended up being a blessing in disguise in the end. But that, you know, that moment where, wow, I finally got to Fifth Ave. Uh-huh. And then 7 months in, really? Really? I would say this is something that I've struggled with, and I know a lot of women can relate to this.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's when it comes to advocating or negotiating for myself.
Mm.
That was always a struggle for me. You know, I would tend to take the first offer. I don't remember ever negotiating a better, you know, deal or what have you. There's that fear. Maybe if I negotiate, they'll take the position away.
Mm.
So can I say I truly was paid my worth? That I'm not so sure.
Mm.
You know, that's where I would say I struggled. It wasn't until I left fashion and I was now consulting where I decided I'm going to up my game.
Mm.
And so I found a really great podcast. I can shout him out if you'd like. It's called Negotiate Anything by Nkwame Christian. He's got the number one negotiation podcast in the world.
Wow.
And he also has a negotiation institute.
Mm-hmm.
He actually trains people, you know, goes into corporate as well. So I remember starting listening to his show. And then eventually he was offering complimentary 30-minute sessions. So I was able to have him help me basically plan out my negotiation for this big client I was going to be consulting for. I reached out and got support to really start working on that negotiation muscle because I know there's a lot of women who can relate.
Mm.
You know, we leave so much money on the table.
I
so
love
true.
That.
That's
yeah.
so true. I want you to speak on that because I actually heard someone that, I forgot who it was, but they said when negotiating, go as high as possible.
Yeah.
Speak on that because there's a lot of people that not, I want to just say it's just not only women, but I just think people that especially that when you're a person of color and you get into a position that not many people of color get into, we tend to just be excited by the opportunity.
Oh,
that's it.
Instead
that's it.
Of saying
and just being
like,
here.
I can raise my hand on that one too.
Yeah.
We don't think we have the room to negotiate to say, you know what, let me go back. And instead of taking the first offer, speak on that because, you know, going high, let's not undervalue ourselves. So speak about that because I think a lot of our people don't really understand how valuable we really are.
Absolutely. And it comes back to self-worth. It comes back to self-image. I will say the one thing I always did, though, I never gave them my existing salary. So that I will say.
Okay.
I always upped it. And that's just even legally, everyone, they cannot go and check your previous. So you have that room to move, right? You know, keep it in some kind of a realistic, you know, but even again, do your research. So find out your comps, as you would say in real estate.
Real estate, yeah.
You know, what are the comparable salaries that you're going for? Maybe there's previous employees you might know at that company that you can, you know, check in with so you feel you're going in there prepared.
Mm.
And that's the one thing I did learn also from these, you know, from this negotiation podcast is prepare.
Mm.
Don't, like anything else, any big, you know, just make sure you rehearse, prepare, do your research so you go in confident. Because that's what they're going to read.
Mm-hmm.
If you're leaning back, right, they'll read that. If they see you kind of jittery when they ask you, they're going to pick up on that.
They will.
So body language, tone of voice, when you're in that negotiation, you got to ask for what you want and ask for it straight and confidently, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're right.
They can smell it from a mile away.
Yes.
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
Definitely. You're talking to real entrepreneurs. Yeah. They want to pay the least.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
So, but if they find someone who's good and someone who knows their value mm-hmm. and thinks like an entrepreneur, they'll pay you.
Yes.
They'll pay you.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll get away with what they get away with.
Absolutely.
What you let them get away
with. That's it. That's it.
You know, that's a fact.
It's part mm-hmm. of the game.
Yeah.
It's part of the game.
Yeah, and sometimes you got to know when to walk away.
Yeah.
Right? You got to think hard
you
about
gotta
it.
Think
but,
hard, yeah.
But yeah, and mm-hmm. you might get that callback.
So you have such a great positive personality, right? Do you have any, like, self-care, like, self-care routines? Like,
yes.
any type of... Yeah. What do you do, like, to stay?
I said, what do you do
to keep that aura? Because you know we're in crazy times. Mm-hmm. People are scared. There's coronavirus.
Yeah.
There's you know all types of uncertainty in mm-hmm. the country, in the world, mm-hmm.
yeah.
right? How do you stay positive? Like, what do you do?
Yeah.
Tell
well,
us the
I
secrets.
Will say this.
Uh-huh.
Inherently, I believe I also inherited this from my mother. Mm. She's got a really peaceful spirit about her. Doesn't hold on to... So I had that modeled for me already, I'm happy to say. But then, you know, with my own, I guess, routine, and I definitely have my own, you know, rituals to support me in mm-hmm. my self-care, I definitely practice a lot of a gratitude.
Gratitude.
I was very fortunate when I was leaving New York. I graduated from university, moving to New York. My friend actually gave me a gratitude journal. This is when Oprah first kind of started
wow.
this whole trend.
Yep.
So from, that's 2000, sorry, what am I saying, 1998, I started a gratitude journal.
Wow.
And now I've actually found a really nice structured one, that 5-minute journal. Because now we have less time, so
yep.
I really still try to make sure I fit that in first thing in the morning. And there's exercise that you do last thing at night.
Last
so think about starting your day in appreciation and then reviewing your day and finding the good,
yes.
you know? So that's definitely a part of my self-care.
Okay.
Prayer. You know, I spend time with my Bible.
Yes.
I've been stretching myself since quarantine. I get on a 6 a.m. prayer call
okay.
now 3 times a week.
Okay.
So it's almost like a spiritual coaching that I get 3 days a week. Think about that.
Yeah.
I love nature.
Mm.
I have a happy place in my kitchen. I feel very lucky. There's a lot of big trees, even fruit trees,
mm-hmm.
All around the building. So I'll sometimes just sit in my kitchen window, the rays just beating down, and I'll do my affirmations. That's my favorite place to
wow.
do that. You know,
okay.
I am more than a conqueror. I am well and able. I am equipped. I am handpicked. I am chosen.
Mm.
And I just go. So think about that. By the time you're just whipped up into a frenzy by the time you even start your day, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yes.
Talk about
that's
it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're literally programming yourself
yes.
just by telling yourself, because a lot of the time we do have the negative self-talk
mm-hmm.
that says, you know, I'm not worthy, but fight it back with just feeding the thoughts that
mm-hmm.
you do want. I love that. It shows literally when you do that type of work
mm-hmm.
and your energy speaks volumes for
yeah.
it. That's it.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing.
No,
my pleasure.
It's all about the affirmations
mm-hmm.
and taking the time. Nature, people don't realize how important it is, especially when we're stuck in the house.
Yeah.
Making the time to go out to get
mm-hmm.
some fresh air when you have the mask on all day.
That's all it takes. It could be 20 minutes. Just a walk
mm-hmm.
can just change your whole being, you know?
Kobe, mm-hmm. was it you that was telling me about it's important to just walk barefoot, like in the sand, in the grass?
Yeah. Grounding yourself.
Just put your hands.
The electromagnetic field.
You know? And it was funny because a few weeks ago, you had a post
mm-hmm.
that you were rubbing your hand on
That's
in
right.
the grass.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought of Kobe, and I said, Colbert's going to really like this word. He's going to...
Yes, don't let me hanging. Don't let me hanging.
Yeah, yeah. I said, look, you're going to have fun with this podcast. I said, because they're on the same wavelength, the same vibes, and
mm-hmm.
it's important to connect with nature. It's important to reconnect with yourself.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you meditate?
I do.
Okay.
I do. And I even did a challenge during the the COVID. It was the 21-day abundance challenge. Not sure if you heard about that going around.
Was that with Deepak?
That's the one. Deepak? Oh, yes.
I've done one of those a couple years ago. Great.
Mm-hmm. That was great. There was another one around self-care, you know. I also do a lot of journaling. So there's something about putting pen to paper for me. So even if, you know, you are feeling a little stressed, there's something about getting it out of your head and onto paper, as well as, you know, for my goals and dreams and what I want to create, you know, that's where I go, you know?
I love it. That's amazing.
So you're a big pen to paper.
Yeah. And there's science behind this stuff.
There is.
There's like a 30%. Higher likelihood that whatever you want to manifest, if you write it, you know, it. What is it? If you write it with a real pen on real paper and stuff gets real.
Yeah.
This is a family show, right? And stuff gets real.
Yeah. Because in my planner, I check everything off. Mm-hmm. Like even if it's the smallest thing, like I'll put it in the planner just so I could see it.
Mm-hmm.
And once I start completing tasks. I start adding more stuff, and I start, you know, and I use an action day planner, but it's you know, you could delegate, you put your tasks, you put your to-dos, and it's organized just in one page, you know, two pages, but it works for me, you know, and so I've talked about if there's 105, 106 episodes of the podcast, like I probably mentioned it probably like 30 times.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh God, geez.
But it works.
It works. And all the high performer guests that we have on, they all say the same thing. So I hope you guys are listening. YouTube land, I know you guys hear this a lot. It's not me. I didn't tell her to say this. Like, you have to invest in a journal, a planner, something. Write it down. Don't just use your technology. Right. You know you have the iPad and the phones and all this technology, but it's important to actually use pen and paper. Like all the high achievers, you listen to all these podcasts with all these great, great people, and they all say the same thing.
Yeah.
They all say the same thing.
We don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's a blueprint to success, right?
Yeah. So tell us about your business, right?
Sure.
So your business is Live Your Best Life For You.
Yes.
That's the brand.
Yes.
Right? So tell us, how did that come about?
Wow. And it's like when you think back on it all, but it makes sense, right? So I'm a mom.
Okay.
I am now soon to be wife.
Yes. Congratulations. Shout out to David Jermaine.
Yes. I did work in fashion for 20 years, but then decided to leave that and do something purposeful. I said, okay, I'm ready to do something that's legacy, you know? And
how was that conversation?
You know what? It just was a feeling. I just felt like, you know what? There's something about one more sweater or one more wedding gown. Like, it just doesn't, it's like, to be like life and death over, is this piece going to ship? Like, you just think of in perspective of life. What does this really mean? That's what started coming up for me at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And I said, there's more I'm supposed to do. And I thought I was going to give back and actually become a kindergarten school teacher, actually.
Yeah. You're a really great teacher.
Thank you. I loved it. When my son was that age, he was a sponge.
I saw how you were playing with my son Super Bowl.
Yes. Okay. I'll get on the ground with them. Yeah. I love that stuff.
A dude ran up to her, gave her a big hug the second time. I was like, okay.
They know the energy.
Yep.
That's my guy.
Yes.
But got the opportunity to actually launch a financial literacy youth program called Financially Clean.
Okay.
You know, so kind of took my skills and ended up, you know, building a website, creating a curriculum. You know, my networking skills was now used to connect with schools and youth organizations.
Uh-huh.
And Financially Clean was born. From that came a 5-star rated podcast called Two Black Guys with Good Credit.
Yes.
I'm the lady with the facts.
Yes.
Who kept the boys in check. It was a lot of fun. It's a sort of a barbershop banter around finance. And I brought the history, the stats, and the cold hard facts.
Wow.
So I'm doing that. But something still didn't feel like, I said, there's still more I'm supposed to do, you know? My partner, that's his gift, his dream, you know, he's a financial guru.
Mm-hmm.
But I still felt there was more for me. And interestingly enough, my boyfriend, fiance, husband now, you know, he had a life coach.
Oh.
And that's when I kind of got introduced to this whole idea of life coaching. Mm-hmm. And actually, it was through one of our podcast episodes. My business partner, his yoga teacher, was our guest. And she had been listening to our podcast and paid off over $35,000 worth of debt by listening to our podcast. And she's a minimalist. She actually goes by an essentialist, right? That's when you really just pare down your lifestyle mm-hmm. and live with the essentials, right? And as she was talking about how, you know, when you're doing something and if it's still just not feeling right, it's a signal. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to be doing things that make you happy, bring you joy, you know? And shortly thereafter, I see my husband's life coach. She posted, we're looking for new registrants for their life coaching program. And I said, you know what? I'm going to give her a call, you know? And she said, well, the next, you know, session's not going to start till February here in New York. You could start in D.C. like tomorrow, like basically, you know, in a month. And I said, you know what? I want to see who I am by February. You know, I'm going to do this. So I actually started traveling to D.C. one weekend every month for a year. But it wasn't easy because I'm still consulting, still podcasting, right? Wow. Still doing the nonprofit, right? And being mom.
Yeah.
And creating a life with this new man in my life, right? And but I would go there and immerse myself for an entire weekend. It was a class of 18. Wow. And I graduated as a life coach in 2019. But I'll never forget when I was actually creating my logo. Mm-hmm. Really, I was just creating my logo. But this gentleman that I connected with in the UK, you know, to create my logo, we had a whole business consultation around it. And he asked me this question. He said, what experience in your life did you have the most growth? And I was like, wow. I said, that would be, you know, having left my son's father, right? Learning to co-parent in a healthy and collaborative way. Then actually going into business with him and launching a nonprofit called Financially Clean.
Yeah.
Where my son, you know, would actually attend classes with us and see us teaching and giving back and creating a new story, a new legacy, you know. And I remember my son actually writing an essay talking about when we had split up, how it was like walking and he was looking at the cold concrete and it's like his heart had broken into a million pieces.
Yeah.
But now my parents have come together, even though he understands we're not together, to, you know, how that, you know, healed him or, you know, but I was surprised he wrote this essay and shared it with his class. But
that's powerful.
Yeah, but that's where I had the most growth in my life. But I also remember how I used to feel very pulled, you know, in so many different directions. So hence the name, Live Your Best Life for You, because in all of that, I had to learn the power of forgiveness, that your gifts don't always come packaged exactly how you expect them to. Because remember, I wanted to give back to the next generation as a kindergarten school teacher and got this opportunity to actually launch a financial literacy youth program with my ex, right?
Yeah.
Right? but who knew, right? All the amazing opportunities that came from it, what it had the positive impact it had on my son. And from the podcast is where I got the inspiration to become a life coach.
Wow.
Right?
That's amazing. That's a testimony right there. Mm-hmm.
I work with women now who already have a lot going on, but still want more. Do you see where I'm going with it?
So speak on that.
Sure.
Like, because you're an entrepreneur, you're a mom, you're a fiance, like, you're coaching other women, right? How do you balance all this?
Well, It definitely took some, I'll say this, learning integration. So how can I, so it was really cool. More and more on the podcast, they were bringing me in as coach, so which was pretty cool, right?
Awesome.
But it was on quarantine.
Okay.
Where, again, I sat down with my journal the day after we went on lockdown.
Uh-huh.
In March.
Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, God. And I said, what is the meaning of this moment? .. And what came up was pivotal. It's a pivotal moment. Right? And so I decided I'm going to just laser lock and focus on my coaching business.
Okay.
For those 3 months, that's what I did. And by the end of quarantine, I just remember I had done my first IG Live. I said, I'm just putting myself out there. Did my first IG Live. It was the craziest thing. I couldn't figure out how to get from one guest to the other, but I figured it out. I did workshops, you know, Zoom workshops. Mm-hmm. Then eventually I ended up partnering with the Borough President of Brooklyn.
Yes, yes,
did a free 4-part series, limited edition, COVID edition, life coaching series. And on that, it was free for the community in support, you know, of those who needed tools, right, to cope. And I started actually bringing in guests, you know, for the different topics, whether it was conflict resolution on quarantine or parenting during a pandemic. Realize all of this is practice for something we're going to talk about next, but
yes.
I'll be launching a show next month. And by the end of quarantine, I just remember I got a feature on News 12, and it aired the last day of the last installment of that COVID series. But I just remember life and wardrobe stylist going across the screen. And it wasn't just about being on TV. That wasn't the main thing. It was really me coming out in my purpose. That's why it meant so much to me, because I felt like I was still kind of losing myself in these other things.
Yeah.
And it wasn't truly my identity that was being showcased to the world. So when I saw that was so meaningful to me that I did go back to my consulting gig, you know, June 8th, but I knew it was time. So I left the consulting. That was the bread and butter while I was building other things.
Yeah.
So I gave my 2 weeks notice a week later. Then a few weeks later, I left the podcast.
Oh,
and there were some things on the table, believe you me.
Yeah.
But this is where the trust and the faith comes in.
Yes.
That if I'm following my purpose, there's no way God's going to leave me or forsake me. And so I started eliminating what I believed was, you know, needed to, that could not go where I'm going next. So.
That's powerful.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's powerful. Mm-hmm. And you know how much strength you have to have
to let go
of something that you build. Something that you...
Four years we were building that podcast. Yeah.
Yes.
Tough.
Yeah, and we just got signed to a network. Like, there was a lot on the table.
Yes.
But I said, I'm going to trust. And believe it or not, I got more clients during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, actually, is the consulting gig that I left.
Mm-hmm.
I actually am coaching my replacement.
Wow.
Is that not God?
That is God.
Right? Right?
You deserve it.
So I'm now on my terms, my rate. Right? Come on.
So it's a win. And it's what you want to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the name of your brand is the best, because it's exactly how people need to be.
We need to put our mask on.
We all sometimes live for our kids, our spouses, our families. Like, you know, I found myself and I had to speak to Kobe, like, bro, like, I'm feeling like I'm getting pulled from so many different places. Like, I'm getting pulled this way, that way, this way, this way. He was like, Gene, you got to stop.
Yeah.
You got to just focus on you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we did the project. And so so I applaud you.
It takes courage. Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad that you... Some people look at the quarantine as a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of bad things associated with it. But on the individual level, right, a lot of great things happened for a lot of people that listened.
Yes.
When you said pivotal, when you asked God, hey, what does this mean?
Yes.
...
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He answered you.
Angel.
He heard you.
But we got to get still.
But we have to stay still.
Because we got to listen.
We have to listen.
We got to be available.
Yeah.
Right?
Shout out to Cesara, who told me in 2013, Gene, you have to be still.
Yeah.
You have to have one day off. And I was like, No, I'm Gene. Can't stop, don't stop. Like, I can't stop. Like, what are you talking about? They know me. She was like, take a day off. I was like, this is before my son. I was like, what are you talking about? I work 7 days a week from 7 in the morning to 11 at night. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I have a frozen yogurt shop 7 days a week. We open at 10, we close at 11. Like, I can't take a day off.
There's no time for time off. Yeah.
But guess what? God said, all right, I got you. Mm-hmm. Pause.
Yeah.
Brooklyn Swirl, if that's the problem, shut down.
That's it. Sometimes he's got to throw his weight around, you know?
So, okay. So tell us about your event coming up October 27th.
Sure.
It's launching. You're launching.
Yes. So I didn't actually mention this earlier. So I'm a life and wardrobe stylist. So I can work with women from the inside out. So I didn't mention that. So I took my 20 years of fashion experience, married it with my coaching. So just so you know, I can work with the being.
Yes.
And then if you want your look to now reflect that new being, we can do that too. Mm. Right? And then, funny enough, we're in this space right now, Adrian Fannis Grooming.
Yes.
So 2 years ago, I'm a vision board girl. Okay. So I was looking at this image for at least a year. Right, of this woman, and she's basically on this rope, and she's basically trying to pull her own weight up, right? So I'm looking at her from a perspective of wellness and health and fitness. But then one day, like I said, like about a year in, these white letters just pop off the page. And they said, what gives you life? And I was like, wow, that's a powerful question. So I ended up just, texting some friends and family. I opened it up by sharing what gives me life to kind of create a safe space. Adrian Fannis was one of them.
Wow.
And the responses I got were unbelievable. Like, people were so vulnerable and it was just so beautiful. I said, wow, maybe I could create like a happiness project type blog or something and just get submissions from around the world. Or something that's feel good maybe. Then I was chatting with Adrian. He's like, you know what? You can even add images to it because he's a photographer. And then he's like, wow, we can even do video. You know, I said, wouldn't that be amazing, right? Like, say, we all know Denzel Washington, he's known for acting. But say he comes on the show and we find out, you know what? He loves to garden. And we're there in his garden and you see him working the earth, right? And you just see how gardening gives him life. You know what I mean? Like, I said, wow. But that was about 2 years ago. Didn't really do anything with it, you know? And I just felt, again, this is my time. This is the season, you know, that I'm in, that it would be the perfect extension from what I'm doing with the life coaching business. So October 27th, I'll be launching my YouTube TV series called What Gives You Life. And I'll be interviewing cool people like yourself. Adrian actually will be the first guest, of course.
Yes. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So we go deep.
But it's inspiring. Most of my guests tend to be entrepreneurs as well, you know? So just amazing stories that are shared.
I love it.
I look forward to that. That's going to be one of those things that you have to hit the subscribe button.
Please do.
Subscribe, share, turn on the notifications now.
Yes.
I expect nothing but great things. So I look forward to that.
Thank you. Yeah, amazing. I'll take all the positive vibes.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we let you go, right, what message do you have for women and male, men that are out there who want to be entrepreneurs, who want to take a leap, who are the COVID wasn't as good to them because, you know, they might have lost their job because this hit everybody. It's just so like left field, right? You walked in, you know, new year, new me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you walk in, you're like, 2020 is going to be the
year.
Everybody
thought 2020 was going to be,
like, but just for myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember saying, looking at the news and I saw people dying left and right, left and right. Everybody texting like, RIP this person, RIP this person. Yeah. Like, people just going, losing their jobs. And I said, 2020 is going to be great for me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I was like, and I'm going to make it great.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the kids, my first post a couple of weeks ago, like two, three weeks ago, coming back onto social media mm-hmm. was a video, because I was trying to figure out, you know, because you're yeah. you leave social media for 2-3 months, mm-hmm. like what's your first post gonna be, right?
It can't just be willy nilly.
It can't just be like, hey guys, I'm back. They're like, we didn't even know you were gone. So but there's a shout out to all my followers, right? I know you guys missed me because you guys were DMing
me. We sure did.
Right? So now it was interesting because the day I came back on social media, mm-hmm. right, it was the same day that Property Shark listed me as number 54 wow. real estate agent in the country.
Come on,
I mean,
nice.
in New York, right? And David Jermaine was on there. Yes. Like, and so it was just ironic that it just happened to be that day
is
and it was a 9, right?
Is it ironic though?
So I was nervous to post that one. Right. So I said, you know what? I'm not going to post that. And then, but it just so happened that I was daddy carpool. Mm-hmm. So my son's school with his friends. Right. So I picked him up from school and we're in the car. But every day we do affirmations. We're talking about stock. We're talking about investments. So we don't really listen to music. Sometimes we do. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about investments. I'm talking about real estate.
Plant
these kids
those
are
seeds.
Like 4 and 5.
I love it.
So the post I put, it was like, let's go. We're going to make it great, right? Yeah. We're going to, you know, we're not going to make excuses, right? They're like,
oh
yeah. And then the little girl was like, we're going to invest.
I missed this.
I left it on. So you can go check it out. But it's like the last post I had. But it was just so funny because it was just like the kids were so animated.
Yeah,
so animated. I was like, this is how I want. Even we're entering the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. right? We're in the fourth quarter now. And I want people to like not get discouraged.
Yes.
So what would be your advice to those people like not to get discouraged, not just to keep going and like to follow their dreams? Like
sure.
What would you tell them?
Sure. Now, funny enough, what you're talking about, it actually ended up inspiring an event I did in August for that very reason. How do we want to show up in this last quarter? So I actually did an event called The Reset.
The Reset.
Because who couldn't do with a little reset after this 2020, yes. right? Push that reset button. And so it was basically, it was basically a five-step process.
Uh-huh.
So what I said was, first and foremost, you got to rest.
Rest.
Right? Did you talk about that? Get still,
yep.
right? Go inward, go upward,
yep.
right? Connect with like-minded people.
Yep.
Then you want routine. Mm. It can't be haphazard, right? It only works if you're consistent, right? With your gratitude, your journaling, your workout, right? All this stuff, mind, body, and soul. That's when you win, right? When everything's in sync. Then you've got to evaluate.
Mm.
And then you've got to possibly eliminate the things that maybe don't align with where, you know, with the direction you want to go,
mm-hmm.
or just, you know, is it draining you or is it energizing you? It could also be people, mm-hmm. right? There may be some people that you might have to eliminate mm-hmm. where you want to go next, you know, into this next year. then you want to see it, speak it, believe it. That's important. You got to believe.
Believe.
You got to speak it, right? And you got to see it. Mm-hmm. So that's why I do believe either draw your goals, really get into it. Or vision boards.
Vision board. I was going to ask you that.
Yeah.
Do you have vision boards?
My vision board is at the foot of my bed. I wake up to my vision board in the morning,
nice.
And it's the last thing I see at night.
Nice.
So when you're writing your goals, you got to spend time with them. Or, you know, if it's a vision board, spend time with your goals. You can't put them away.
Water,
right?
Water the seeds. Yeah,
you got to water it. But I also say you got to be in a good mood. So make sure you're in a good mood when you're spending time with your goals. You don't want to be in a negative space. You're going to be repelling your goals,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh,
and then you got to execute.
Execute.
You got to take action.
You got to put it to work. You got to grind.
Right? You can have all the plans in the world, but if you don't execute, what does it all mean?
Yes.
So you just got to take the first step. You might need an accountability partner. Mm. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. If you're doing something new, you're trying to create something new in your life, you might need some support, right? So it might be in the form of a family member. It could be a life coach, mm-hmm. but, right? You want to have that accountability. Mm. And then the last one is you've got to, what was it? Trust, was it? And testimonial.
Okay.
I think that's what it is. Because you got to share your story.
Mm-hmm.
You got to share your story.
That's
you don't know who might need to hear it. You know? So that's my advice for anyone.
I love
you know, surround yourself with positive people. Mm-hmm. What you are what you consume.
Mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. So if you're listening to positive messaging, whether it's, you know, positive podcasts like you're, you know, what you're doing here, mm-hmm. it could be YouTube inspirational messages, it could be sermons, but what are you feeding yourself? What are you feeding yourself literally in your in terms of food, mm-hmm. right? Are you eating healthy, you know? What music are you listening to? Like, all of that,
100%.
You absolutely. Know, absolutely. It's going to determine what the output is.
So that leads me. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
You have any?
I had a particular question because you spoke about the people you surround yourself with, and I see a lot of people because I coach a lot of people as well. Mm-hmm. When it comes to like realizing their surrounding, their environments, mm-hmm. it's always tough to like get them away from you while you're laser focused on that. Can you just touch on that, because it seems like you are very focused and you were laser point with your surroundings. It didn't sound like you had too many distractions around you that allowed you to more so find success faster, but I feel a lot of people just surround themselves with just people just that take their energy.
Yeah,
they suck their energy out.
Yeah, and get
put off astray. I just want you to touch on that a little bit, because I think that's a tough thing that people realize. I don't want to hurt my mom's feelings. I don't want to hurt so-and-so's feelings. I don't want to think that they think they're better. I'm better than them. No, you just wanted to focus. I just wanted to touch on that real quick, because I think that's important.
I can't say it's easy by no means. When I had to tell my business partner that I'm stepping away, we definitely, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing. If they really care about you, and I have a post about this as well, people who get upset because you set boundaries means they took advantage of the fact you didn't have any before, you know? So, yes, we butt heads when I first announced that I was leaving, but now he has so much respect for me. He actually went as far as saying, Dion, actually, you are a bigger risk taker than I am, you know? But it's because I stayed committed to what I'm committed to. Mm-hmm. You know, those who really believe in you will eventually come around, and the ones who don't, well, they weren't meant to be in your life in the first place. It's tough. Yeah. It's not easy, especially if they're a family member. Yeah. Doesn't mean they'll be out of your life completely. You're going to have to learn how to manage that person, manage that relationship.
That relationship.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But you have to put your needs first, and that comes from
live
self-love.
Your best life for you.
Yes. There you have it.
That's what you have to say. So. Last question, right? We asked all our guests this, and you're our first guest after the quarantine, right?
Wow.
So, out of faith, grind, inspire, which word resonates with you and why?
I will definitely say in this season it's faith. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I prayed for a man that would take my faith walk with me, and David Germain came into my life. And just in these last 2.5 years, you know, and then especially during this quarantine, that's where I turned to, really and truly, was deepening my faith, really stretching myself. And I believe that's what's keeps, you know, why things are flowing and aligning so well, because I'm really trying to be obedient. Hmm. Yeah. So I would say faith.
Faith. Mm-hmm. Okay. I respect it.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah.
You need it in these times.
You
especially
do.
Especially to make decisions as far as walking away from opportunities.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of faith.
Mm-hmm. No, it does.
And intuition to know, like, I have to take this step. Most people want to keep that door open before they open the next one. But it's like, no, you have to really show faith. Close the door so that I can... bust that one wide
especially,
open.
Especially now. Yeah. You know how much so many doors are closing for people.
Yeah.
People don't just close the door because, you know, like, aren't an opportunity. Like, they don't know what's going on, after, you know? So, so I applaud you.
Thank you.
For taking, you know, that's why he said, you're a bigger risk taker than me. Mm-hmm. You know, and he had to be self-aware of that and say, wait a minute. Would I have done that?
Yeah, because he always has a plan B and C and D. Mm-hmm. He's always hedging, right?
Yeah.
So I never thought of it that way. I said, because I feel like he's the risk taker.
Yeah.
But he says, well, you do that leap of faith thing.
You do the leap of faith thing.
But when you know it is written, and I think that's the key for me, when you just, you know who you are and whose you are.
But you know what?
Yeah.
You are and who you are.
You're very spiritual. you have a connection, mm-hmm. you're still, so you get to hear the whisper, yeah, right?
That's it.
God whispers to us. Mm-hmm. That's how he talks.
He's not loud.
He's not loud. Right. If you hear somebody loud talking to you, it's somebody else.
That's not him.
That's not him. He's not like, yo, go that way. I'm telling you, make a laugh.
Yeah, he doesn't talk fast. That's not him either.
Yeah. He's talking fast.
He's not.
It'll just be like the cloud. Be like, what?
Huh? Well, gotta catch it. Yeah.
Like, thank you. We appreciate you for being here, being our guest. Thank you for all the work that you're doing in our communities.
Thank you
for doing the free coaching session with Borough President, yes. Future Mayor,
yes,
right, Eric Adams, yes. Right, thank you for connecting. This whole thing is cool because, like, the gentleman that owns this place, mm-hmm. right, was in the march,
yes,
on June 7th.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's so crazy.
Everything connects. Yeah.
Shout out to Brooklyn.
Yeah. Shout out to Brooklyn, man. Yeah. Shout out to just great, positive people. Mm-hmm. People say there's 6 degrees of separation. Now it's like one.
It is. Mm-hmm.
When you're doing positive work in the community and yes. you're doing it with the right intention.
Yes.
Like people always DM me, right? Mm-hmm. Or text me and or see me. Gene, you know everyone. You know literally everyone. And I said, I don't, but it feels like it because, number one, because of the businesses that I'm in, mm-hmm. I touch a lot of people.
Yeah.
Right? And because of the type of businesses that I have, mm-hmm. like, I'm with the kids. I'm with the adults.
Yes.
I'm with the grandparents. Mm-hmm. I'm with, you know, I'm with the politicians.
The good energy.
Yes. I'm around everybody. Positive. You know, sometimes some people aren't positive, so I got to walk away.
Right.
But it's just like you meet a lot of people. So it's about that. Well, you know what's the best part? Technology, right?
Yeah.
Technology is our friend, right?
It can be.
If you use it for good, mm-hmm. right? Anyway, I'm sorry. We're going to go for another 2 hours, right? So, okay. Where can people find you?
Yes. So you can find me at Dionne Nichols on IG and Facebook. That's DionneNichols. My website is Live Your Best Life For You. You can also subscribe to my YouTube channel at Live Your Best Life For You. You can add Dionne Nichols to even find it faster since we are just launching. So we're not at the top of the algorithm yet. So you can definitely find me there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And any last tip you want to give them?
Well, this is something I know I know at some point I want to take this on a mission around the country, if not the world. Uh-huh. And that's the message around the power of forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
Yeah, the power of forgiveness.
The power of forgiveness.
That's probably one of the toughest things.
It's not for them, it's for you.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
I was listening to this podcast and they had a 92-year-old woman. She was a Holocaust survivor, mm-hmm. right? She's a doctor now. She's all about healing and stuff. And she said that.
Mm-hmm.
She said that the power of forgiveness is the most powerful thing that mm-hmm. you could do for yourself.
Yes.
She was like, she forgives the Nazis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you're free.
But she was free. She said, I'm 92 years old. Yeah. I have 7 great, great grandkids. Mm-hmm. My book is on their tables because I forgave the people that she was like, the day before they let us go, mm-hmm. I had a boyfriend, the love of my life, and they killed him. Oh. The day before, one day, when they in the concentration camp, they separated them, but she had a boyfriend, and she went to one, and when they were like, "You guys are free," mm-hmm. or what happened,
mm-hmm.
she went and she was asking her friends like, "Where's so and so?" They're like, "Yo, they killed him yesterday."
Wow.
And she still forgave them. So when you say the power of forgiveness, that's the image that came to my mind.
It's a very godly thing to do.
That you hold on to it.
Yeah.
You hold on to it, you know, and because I think for me, it was more of like, I mean, for forgiveness, it was people who did bad things to me, mm-hmm. I think I always treated people the way I want to love. Like, I want...
Yes.
Like, you get it? I want to be loved. I love you the way I want to be loved. Mm-hmm. So when it doesn't happen that way, and you know, backstab you, they stab you instead, you feel this resentment, you feel mad and anger, right? And it took me a long time to forgive.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest.
But it's exhausting to hold on to
it,
right?
Yeah. As soon as someone brings up the name, you could go for 4 hours talking about that person. Right? And it never dies.
Yeah.
It never dies.
You keep reliving it.
And it's like, you paint this picture in your mind. It's just like, but once you let go, once you let go and you say, you know what, I forgive you. It's okay. You know? You know, it's the best thing you could do.
Let go and let
make
God.
Room for the good.
Yes, make room for the God, for the good, right?
Yeah. And God.
Yes, I was right. Yeah. And so with that being said, I need you guys to follow her. I need you guys, if you can't do it yourself, call her or reach out to her on Instagram, follow her YouTube, subscribe. Like, you'll learn from her. Just being around the positive vibes and energy, like, trust me, like, you feel better. You feel like the blue lights around and purple lights.
Goodness.
Like, it's great. So thank you once again. Yes. For all our subscribers, everybody who listens to the show, you could always follow us every Wednesday on YouTube. You could check up our Instagram.
Yes.
Faith Grind Inspired.
Subscribe, all Faith of that Inspire. Good stuff. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And we look forward to the great things that we're going to see from you. And stay tuned for
And when things open back up, we should definitely have an event.
Yes.
You know, the Alchemist and you.
Yes. Oh, like, let's go.
Meditation session.
I see some vineyard or something.
Yes.
A lot of plans.
Yes.
It's all happening.
Shout out to our producer, videographer.
Yes.
Brianna.
A-Blast Films. Thank you so much. All right, guys. Always keep grinding, keep shining, keep going no matter what. Peace.